See if I can get this thing up now. I'm not as butch as some of these people around here. Thank you, Miss Marty. That was lovely. It's been a year. I was here last year at this time doing the last Sunday for Holy Family Sunday. And it's good to be back. I hope each one of you had a very Merry Christmas. And I hope you're looking forward to what God has in store for us in the year 2016. I want to read, before I go into the sermon, I want to read a cute little church event that I had read the other day. Share that with you, if you don't mind. One Sunday morning, the pastor noticed little Alex was staring up at a large plaque that hung in the foyer of the church. The plaque was covered with names, and small flags were mounted on either side of it. The 7-year-old had been staring at the plaque for some time, so the pastor walked up to him and stood beside him and said quietly, "Good morning, Alex." "Good morning, Pastor," said Alex. He was still quite focused on that plaque, though. "Pastor McGee, what is this?" "Yes." "Well, son, it's a memorial to all of the men and women who died in the service." Well, soberly, they stood there together, and Alex's voice was barely audible when he asked, "Which service? The 9 o'clock or the 11 o'clock?" To ensure we don't have to start a tradition of a plaque with in the foyer, in here, anything, I have made a very short sermon so we can get through and get out of here without that, okay? On this Holy Family sermon, or Sunday, I've prepared a sermon that I've entitled, "The Perfect Model of Faith." Would you pray with me, please? Loving and wonderful God, we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate your birth through the events of Christmas, as well as the lessons of hope, peace, joy, and love we experience during Advent. Let us now grow even more by finding ways to strengthen our individual faith journeys through your word, through our experiences with you, and learning from those around us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I don't know how many of you were here last week, but if you remember, the pastor talked to us a little bit about the strength of faith in Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary, because, of course, Elizabeth was given the opportunity to have a child late in her life. And at the same time, Mary is pregnant with her child. And through all they went through in this, you know, they had to have a real strength of faith. Now, this week, our Old Testament reading shows the same strength of faith in Hannah and her first child. I mean, she had prayed for a long time for this child, but yet she had to give this child up. And I don't know if you know anything about the background of this, but Samuel had to do his spiritual journey in a town called Shiloh. And he stayed at the temple there in Shiloh. And if you're aware, that is where the Ark of the Covenant was. And that's where he slept, was near or by the Ark of the Covenant. And of course, as our scripture said, Hannah took a robe up there to him. Now, this was not the ceremonial type robe, but the daily robe, you know. And each time she would go up there for the annual sacrifice, Eli would bless her and tell her that she would have more children. And I believe later on she had like five more children after she had given up Samuel. So, but likewise, we find the same strength of faith in Mary as she experiences the beginnings in our second reading of losing her son to his journey, his mission that God had sent him for. Now, these losses certainly were not without their gains. And our scripture, if you notice the last verse in each one of the scripture readings, give us a little hint of that. It says, for in the Old Testament reading, the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and favor with the Lord and with the people. Same thing in the New Testament. The last verse in there read, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I mean, this just works so perfectly with each other, with the giving up of these two children. So now, each of these individuals continued to grow and experience the love and strength of faith that they had in each other, within their families, and with God. Having said all this, now, God never told us, no matter how strong our faith was, that it would eliminate the trials and tribulations of life. Some of us think that once our faith gets really strong, that that person must be living a real easy life. You know, but trials and tribulations still come to us. It does provide us, however, with the assurance that no matter what comes before us, God is going to see us through. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the Holy Family here. Put yourself in the shoes of Mary. Now, I know there are some of you out there that really want to be Mary, but put yourself in the shoes of Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. We can only imagine in society today what would be said in an unmarried situation if the child or child came home and told us that they were about to have a baby. And then they turn and tell us, and the angel said it came from the Holy Spirit. Now you can imagine all of the ramblings and goings-on that might occur and what kind of test it might have given the family, Mary herself, even Joseph, who was supposed to marry her. But their strength of faith brought them together to go ahead and fulfill this mission that they were supposed to go through. Now then, put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Now Joseph is standing there saying, oh, do I really want to do this? You know, do I really want to go through and marry at this time? He's saying, oh, I think I should divorce her in order to help minimize the shame and all that she might experience. But then, of course, an angel comes to him and tells him, no, this is okay. You need to go ahead and marry her. That God has anointed this, and this child is from the Holy Spirit. Of course, we see a strength of faith there again where they come together and they say, we're going to go ahead and see this through. Now, what about the birth itself? It was not without its own trials. They're headed to Bethlehem, and they get there, and Mary is about to have her baby. They've got to find some place to stay. What do? They find no place in any inn, but they end up in a barn, in a manger, with all these animals around them. But they're not dissuaded. Their strength of faith carries them through that. Now, let's fast forward about 2 years. Now, Jesus is now in trouble with his life. Herod has decided that he's going to kill all of the children 2 years and younger because he's afraid of what is coming to pass with him. So what happens? And what would you do if your life were in danger, that you knew that the king was coming to take your child? They flee, not just to another town a little ways away, but they flee to another country, which, if my world geography is correct, to another continent, as they go to Egypt. They, through all of this, you know their strength of faith had to be great to endure all of these different things that they're enduring. Now we're going to fast forward again to age 12. What's happening here? They make their trip, and this is where, you know, they go for the annual Passover, you know, Feast of the Passover and everything. And the Passover feast is over, and they all decide to go home. And if you remember in this situation, they're not just this family walking and going home. This is a whole community of family and friends that are traveling to and from the feast. Well, they travel for a day with no question, but then they finally notice that Jesus isn't with them. And they begin looking to their friends and their family members, trying to find where Jesus is. Well, he's nowhere to be found. So they spend 3 days looking for the baby Jesus. They finally find him, or not the baby Jesus, but the 12-year-old Jesus. To them, my mother still called me a baby when I was 50. Her baby, you know. So, but they finally find him in the temple, and Mary says to him, "Why would you do this to me and your father?" Well, of course, you know, at age 12, what comes next is the terrible teens, you know. And this is bar mitzvah time. He is supposed to be becoming a man now. And he looks to her with responding to her and saying, "Why would you be looking for me? You know I have to be about my father's business." Well, they don't even quite understand what he's saying at this time, you know. But Mary, like it says, Mary pondered this in her heart and went on and accepted this. Now, like any family, children create trials for us, you know. But if we fast forward on from this point on to Jesus' public ministry, we never hear anything else about Joseph. So Joseph, somewhere along this way, is presumed to have passed. And that in itself created bereavement for the family, requiring even a stronger faith for Mary to even keep the family together. at what we've gone through and recognize that God got us through that. With God's help, we got through that. And if we begin to acknowledge each time God has gotten us through a circumstance, we grow in those acknowledgments. We learn to understand that we got through that. God let us get up and breathe one more day. God is giving us one more opportunity to shine that light to those we come in contact with. No matter what comes our way, we can make it through if we will just rely on that strength of faith that God gives us. And we need to test it more. We often sing a little song around here. It's called, I Know That I Can Make It. And it says, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hand. With Jesus, I can make it. With Jesus, I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hand. Let's rise and sing that song, please.